It's loading, but let me just greet you and tell you I'm delighted to be here to stand in for Dr. Garvin and represent the rest of the business case for breastfeeding project team at the Consortium for Infant and Child Health. One of our other members is here, Amy Paulson. You might want to wave your hand. She's the CINCH director. I do not have any financial relationships to disclose with commercial interests about this project. Just a brief bit about CINCH, Consortium for Infant and Child Health. CINCH is our nickname. It's been in existence for 18 years, helping to improve the health of children in Hampton Roads, Virginia. And the Business Case for Breastfeeding Project provided a unique opportunity for the policy systems and environmental change in the arena of childhood obesity prevention. Today I'm just going to briefly describe the business case for breastfeeding toolkit and how we used it in outreach and implementation with employers, the challenges and outcomes achieved, and the methods for evaluating the effectiveness of this implementation project. It was a one-year implementation project extended by 2 months and officially ended yesterday. The primary goal of the project was to implement the business case for breastfeeding toolkit among at least 10 employers in the cities of Chesapeake, Portsmouth, Norfolk, and Virginia Beach. And while doing so, to document the policy and environmental changes that occurred and assess how the integration of the program into the business infrastructure. Secondary goals, we did try to strengthen some of the breastfeeding advocate networks in our area, and also we did spend some time listening to working moms about their experiences with merging work and breastfeeding. It was an ambitious project for 1 year. Funding support for the project came from the Virginia Department of Health's Champion Program. We were able to get some additional breast pumps and supplies through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act program targeted to employers called Communities Putting Prevention to Work. So why worksite lactation support? What is a child health coalition doing talking to employers about their adult employees' health? And why would they listen to us? Well, we all know in this audience the health benefits for both the mom and babies for breastfeeding and the importance of increasing breastfeeding rates and duration in the fight against many illnesses, but for us particularly in our funding stream, it was childhood obesity. And one of the reasons moms do not continue, don't start breastfeeding, or don't continue through the recommended 1 year is that they return to unsupportive work environments. Let me back up a sec. And in those work environments, there are a lot of challenges, both for employers and employees. Our aim with this project, I'm going to go on to the law in a second, sorry, was to use the business case for breastfeeding toolkit to reduce those obstacles that are influencing moms' choices whether to breastfeed or not. As one mom stated, I was concerned about how and where I'd be able to pump while at work. Would I use a closet? Would I have to go to my car? Would I have to lug my breast pump back and forth every single day? And so the health reform law did us a favor in our outreach. It put breastfeeding in the workplace on the radar for many employers. And as employers' understanding of the health reform mandate started to develop over the early months of our project, their concern for compliance increased. And that really did provide us an open door. Specifically, the Patient and Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010 amended the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 to require employers to provide reasonable break time and a private place other than a bathroom, shielded from view, free from intrusion, to express breast milk. There are some handouts on the back table, and attached to the back is a copy of the Fair Labor Standards Act fact sheet on this, if you'd like to refer to that later. A couple of other pieces about the law. Employers are not required to pay for these breaks. And there are a few other minor provisions. But the basic impetus was provide flexible breaks and private spaces. The Business Case for Breastfeeding Toolkit, it was published in 2008, predates health reform, at the federal level, and it is a comprehensive program designed to educate employers about the value of supporting breastfeeding employees in the workplace, not just as a nice thing to do for your employees, but as a return on investment for the company. The toolkit really was the centerpiece of Cincha's local project and provides a wealth of resources targeting several audiences, employers, advocates, and employees. The key pieces we used with employers, I'll show you a couple. This pamphlet is the bottom line benefits. It really talks about the return on investment. It doesn't talk about all the health effects. It talks about how this can save you money. And that was the why to piece to help us get in the door with employers. The second piece was the easy steps for creating a breastfriendly workplace. And this helped to guide decisions and options for what their lactation support program might include. Another piece, and there are many resources in the toolkit, was the lactation assessment form, and that was really the baseline measure of what's your starting place, how many employees do you have, how many of those are women of childbearing age, help the employer think through what the lactation support program might contain. Now, I mentioned the flexible breaks and private space were covered in the law. The work business case for breastfeeding model is a comprehensive lactation support program, and it adds to the two components of education and support. And those companies that touch on all four of these pieces have the greatest return on investment. Our outreach was not broad. We didn't just throw it out. Anybody interested, let us know. We identified and targeted some key employers to start with, since this was a new project for us. And we reached out to some of our friends, those who had some relationship to our coalition in the past, some employers that had health investments so they would get it, they understand the importance of the breastfeeding support. And we directly contacted these employers, trying to get them to agree to a face-to-face consultation. Talk with us, let us introduce the toolkit and our project. We did do a little bit of general promotion, though. We felt like with health reform rolling out to employers and suddenly all these new demands about laws and health insurance changes, and employers had their ears pricked up. And so when we saw in the business communications employee benefit consultant companies were offering these health reform seminars, we sort of invited ourselves along to make announcements about, hey, this is a little piece of health reform, but here's some free resources to help you, and this is a good thing. It's not just a compliance issue. This is something that's going to help you. Once we got our foot in the door, we tried to get employers to agree to work with us on our time frame, and part of that was if it was early in the project, they might have had 6 to 8 months to say we're going to take steps to become more breastfeeding friendly. Some of the later recruits had only about 3 months before the project was going to end, but at least they could take some steps. And the carrot that we dangled was that we can provide you free technical assistance. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. We've already identified community resources. We can bring these toolkit resources to you. We know it inside and out. We can point you to the right pieces that might help. And importantly, we had incentives, limited time incentives. Act now so you can be part of this. And those included furnishings and equipment for whatever lactation support programs they would develop, and might have ranged from, in the end, it ranged from about $300 to $1,500 per employer. So it was enough to get them interested. And then as evidence of their commitment to work with us, they would complete the lactation assessment form as a first step. Now, we weren't just giving out incentives willy-nilly. We had some high expectations and criteria for our employers. And that included the first step I mentioned. But the policy piece was important as well. We really felt like that was part of the sustainability, and that was part of what our organization's about. So that was an important step. Identifying a place to put these incentives we would get them was important. How to use them, make sure other employees would be aware of them, not just certain favored employees. Promoting it throughout the company. and spotlights. So the compliance issue was big, wellness initiative. This isn't just about complying with the law. It's unlike some other wellness initiatives, smoking cessation or weight loss. These are motivated employees or making healthy choices. Just get the obstacles out of their way. That's really what we tried to emphasize. Human resource managers did have to make some decisions in policy and logistics. Are we going to have just provide a table and a chair in a room? Are we going to set up a specially identified room with amenities like fridges and recliners and sinks and other things? So they had some choices to make. But the point of the project is that the business case for breastfeeding can be implemented very cheaply. It can be simple or elaborate. Everybody can do something to make it easier for these breastfeeding moms. Challenges. It wasn't a priority for everyone. There were a lot of other things going on with health reform that they were having to make changes about. So, you know, we understood that. But those who were willing to take steps forward, we wanted to offer our assistance. Our eligibility criteria, as I mentioned, were both a catalyst to act now, but it was a barrier for some. As you might anticipate, some organizations just don't move that fast when you're trying to talk about drafting and implementing a policy. There are committees to review, and you know it takes months and months in many cases. So some were discouraged by some of those requirements. But all in all, we had good cooperation. On our side of the picture, identifying an effective champion inside the organization got to be a little bit challenging. It's a team effort to implement a lactation support program, and sometimes the point of contact for us to work with was changed according to which phase we were in. So that was a unique problem that I had as the project manager. Successes. We did have success. 17 businesses were at least minimally engaged with our project. Of those, 16 agreed to those face-to-face consultations. 15 went on and filled out that form with their personnel data and other information about current practices. 14, this is kind of one of the key numbers, actually took steps, made progress, concrete things during our project time frame. 13 of those employers were covered by policies by the end of the project. And that was significant. The reason that 8 is there is because we worked with 2 different hospital systems. So those 2 policies affected 7 of the employers that we worked with. 14 of these employers created or upgraded 17 lactation rooms. Briefly, this just shows 80% of the employers that filled out that lactation form were in the health arena. The key point of contact to enter these organizations were through human resources, occupational health, and program managers. In the case of hospitals, where women's and infants health nursing directors seem to be a good person to work with. We worked with mid-sized to large employers primarily, but also small. We'd like to say the potential impact of our project reached more than 4,000 female employees of childbearing age, and that's really a low number because not all the employers gave us the data. Evaluation measures. Each employer was rated on 6 different factors, both at the beginning of the project and at the end. Level of engagement, stage of change, comprehensiveness, I mentioned earlier, a level of policy development, and then the physical and social environmental changes. The ratings were on a scale of 1 to 3, 1 to 4, 1 to 5, depending on the criteria, and each of these was defined. Here are results. And you see that comparison of means. Baseline and post-intervention demonstrate we had a positive, significant change on all 6 factors. Here's an example of a policy where this organization just updated their break policy to include a reference to breaks for nursing mothers. Not going to belabor that other than that they chose to actually give 2 15-minute breaks every 4 hours paid for their moms. Here are some physical environmental changes. You see the nice room that was developed here with the chair and the pump. What you don't see in the picture is the sink and the fridge. They really added a lot of things. Here's the second one at the same employer. Signage for privacy, as well as creative names, Nursing Nook, was added. This was in a hospital setting. An office was converted to this nice little employee lactation center. Military, we had one military command work with us. Their original room was down the hall, hard to access, and look at this beautiful room they have now. So implications. The law has opened a doorway for advocates, and we can help, and employers are open to our assistance. Friendly scrutiny from the outside does help employers take steps beyond what they might have without it. And our investment of incentives spurred on an investment back from employers. They said, you know, we're getting these new things. Why don't we go ahead and paint this room? Why don't we go ahead and get new carpet? You know, let's add plumbing. You know, so it really did spur on efforts on their part. Thank you very much.